Is it a dumb game or am I just dumb?
What's dropping?
If you are looking for relevant gaming coverage from experts, you are not getting it on this show.
Been gone for a month. I don't even know how long it's been since the last time I was on this.
Couple weeks, I think.
Yeah, and I loved it. It was the best. It was the best.
You were
thing
free,
ever.
Finally.
The shackles of this podcast were were suddenly shed off my being. I could do as I pleased, which meant I did grocery shopping during the time in which we record this. Oh boy.
You were on the beach with sunglasses and, you know, a giant multicolored tropical drink.
Listen, there's no beaches here in Michigan, all right? at least none that you would want to visit at this point. It was negative 35 out, and Twitter was abuzz with how cold it was. It was a competition. It's like when, you remember how we talked about when earthquakes happen in your area? It's like,
yeah, did you feel it?
Yeah, that's it was akin to the earthquake buzz. It was, hey, it's negative 35 here, and then somebody from Duluth, Minnesota is like, guess what, it's negative 36 here, as though that 1 degree difference makes any difference. But it was cold as shit, and honestly, I'm glad I didn't I went into full hibernation mode. I'm known to be a hermit. I love it. I love sequestering myself and not dealing with human beings ever. And I went into full hermit mode, except for before this snowpocalypse that we experienced, I did have to go to the supermarket, and I texted you, I think all of my animosity towards other human beings, like, in real time, I texted you.
Yeah, that supermarket trip took, like, 3 hours or something.
It was out of control.
And this was just prior to the vortex hitting, I think.
Yeah, everybody decided last minute that they were going to buy all of the supplies you would need, you know, canned goods.
It's so funny to me, this. People love to imagine themselves being in a Cormac McCarthy novel or something.
Yes!
The news, of course, manufactures a crisis, and then people actually, I think, legitimately enjoy being part of the crisis and imagining themselves having to hole up and survive.
Right. That's, I think, what is feeding into this, is because everything I saw in everyone else's cart was like, you know, it's not stuff that'll spoil. It's bottled water. Like
this is 1830,
right?
And you've got to get on horseback and ride for a fortnight to resupply,
right? And as though there's not going to be a thaw. Like, this is going to last. This is the nuclear winter. Get ready.
Yeah, this is seasonal. This is you're gonna have to wait until spring.
Yeah, it was upsetting to say the least, because I had already planned that I was going to do groceries that day, like, as a normal human being would do. Like, I need groceries. I'm going to die if I do not have groceries. That kind of a thing. So I'm doing a full-on grocery thing. And these people, like, I've got peppers and apples and things that will spoil. And I'm sitting here in this fucking line with people who think that this is, like, there's a meteor coming to Earth. Get in your fucking fallout shelter. This is the end.
Was the guy before you in line in furs, and like he dropped a leather sack of coins out of his, give me a pound of cornmeal, 2 sacks of sugar, and 14 iron tipped arrows.
It was such a harried experience. There were people buying spots in line. Like, somebody gave me a few pebbles to get in front of me, and I was like, I don't care. I mean, I'll take the pebbles, but to them, that meant currency. They, like, that's how deep they dug.
By between them exiting their car and entering the supermarket, a barter system had been installed.
That's right.
People were trading ponies outside.
There was one dude trying to trade slush, but we all knew it was all in. That was a saturated market, so there was no reason. Oh boy, it's good to be back, but it sucks to be back. I have to reiterate, I don't want to be here. Look,
it wouldn't be a Super Dumb Games without you being incredibly reluctant to participate.
And the thing is I listened to the last two podcasts and there was something lacking and I wish I could say it was me. And it wasn't. No, you did a fine job. You did a fine job. But I am apparently the crux of this podcast. So, ladies and gentlemen, thank you for supporting me. I know everyone out there is listening thinking that, of course, yes, Chris, you are the best. And I agree. I don't know what else to say. I did have a thought on my mind really quickly. My dad called me. And as you may know, well, as no one else knows, but you do know, my dad and I are on the outs for a split second. It'll get back to the ins. But he called me to go see a movie called Lone Survivor that's coming out. The thing is his whole pitch to go see it was, it's based on a true story. And I was wondering, do your parents succumb to the, it's based on a true story, quote unquote, that
I don't, not to my knowledge, I don't think they care. But I understand why they put that at the start of movies, because for some people, that is compelling.
And to me, it's not, because I usually research it and I realize, no, I mean, it's loosely based on a true story. It's,
yeah, and it's this false notion that when something is based on something with truth, then that makes it true or something, as if
right.
Not everything is fictionalized, which of course every time a story is told, it's a fictionalization of it.
Right. When my parents tell me to go see a movie, they always preface it by saying, and it was based on a true story. Like that's their thing is even, and they believe that what they saw was the true story. Like they think that was it might as well have been a reenactment of how things went. So now I am forced to go see Lone Sniper, Lone Soldier. I don't care.
It was one of those at the place I work, we get screenings for free. And it kind of, there's a call that goes out. Anyone want to go to this screening? It was one of the movies that no one went to for free early.
My parents actually got an early screening, which to them, that's actually, I should say this, that's a huge deal, that's a huge step toward progress as being humans for my mom and dad, that they went to a pre-screening of this movie, and they loved it so much, but again, you know, it's based on a true story. I was just curious, anyone out there who has parents who are compelled to tell them to go see a movie because it is, quote unquote, based on a true story, I would love to hear from you, because I think it's a generational thing. I see it, and I'm always tipped off that it is not going to be true. So I would love to hear about that stuff. Anyway, ladies and gentlemen, what is this? Episode?
I think this is 16.
Episode 16 in full effect. Hey-o! Tanner, what games have you been playing? Well, I know the one. There's only one.
Wait. I know, but it's not dumb at all.
Yeah, that's what sucks.
I played Zen Pinball.
What?
The Star Wars edition. Because
what? Wait, so wait, is there a Zen Pinball game, and then there's a sub?
I've spent upwards of 20 minutes trying to figure out how Zen Pinball categorizes their products. I've yet to figure it out. So there's some company called Zen Studios. They make pinball games. Sometimes they're called Zen Pinball. Sometimes they're just called, you know, Star Wars pack. I can't discern it, but there's a company called Zen Studios, and I'm playing one of their tables, which is based on The Empire Strikes Back. And what's different about Zen Pinball versus Pinball Arcade is that they're not based on real tables. So their inspiration is creating next-gen pinball experiences.
I don't want it.
This is hard to explain. So the tables don't function. They don't model reality. So if you say, I was playing Empire Strikes Back last night and I spelled out Vader, Vader will appear out of the bottom of the table and stand on the table. And it's not mechanical. It's just a digital effect, clearly.
It's so stupid.
And the ball will get summoned by a lightsaber and hovered over the table and placed down and that kind of thing. So it's not mechanically sound.
Okay.
In terms of nuts and bolts, but less so than game mechanics. And I'm trying to determine if I like this or not. I'm not quite certain yet. Certainly, well, I love Pinball Arcade because it scratches the nostalgia itch and you know, it's a real table, so you get to learn about real tables. But this one, I mean, in some way it solves the problem with Pinball Arcade in that the scores people get on Pinball Arcade are way more than you'd ever get in real life.
Sure, yeah.
So with these Zen Pinball tables, there isn't that feeling of, well, this isn't really how the table plays. It can be tuned just to how it was created. So it's got that going for it, but I'm not sure, like, the extra effects they do are make the experience any better. The great thing about Pinball Arcade is you're thinking, how did they get this done mechanically?
Right,
in
exactly.
In the real table. So I'm not sure.
I guess what I'm having trouble with is, I haven't seen this, so I don't know what it looks like when it pops up on the screen, but are they manufacturing... So they're manufacturing an entire pinball game off of, for in your example, it was Empire Strikes Back. So they take Empire Strikes Back. Do you actually, you know, draw back the you know, whatever it's called that pushes the pinball into the game? It's a regular table.
Yeah, but then, they do. But the table does things that couldn't be done in real life.
See, I don't want that. That to me is that sullies the experience because pinball is a simple game, technically. The point of pinball isn't that it has some kind of complexity to it. Except for when you go into Pinball Arcade, you realize, holy shit, there is complexity built in, but it's on a novel level. It's on this level that it only exists within the framework of this table. Nothing's going to pop out at me. There's not going to be some... Do you know what I'm saying? Like, I don't want that level of whatever it is. I don't want Vader to be spelled out and Darth Vader to pop up at me, and I don't want that even in a simulated game. I love Pinball Arcade. I can't.
I'm still on the fence about it. I think I could end up really liking Zen Pinball, and there's a lot of people who are huge fans of these tables.
What other tables are there?
They've got a Marvel license, and then they have their own tables, which I could give a shit about.
So, like, with the Marvel one, does, like, Spider-Man come shooting out at you, or...
Yeah, it's all, you know, like, little animated characters will appear on the table, and they'll say stuff, and that kind
it
of
just,
thing.
It just screams to me like that, I think it's on our Tumblr page, the 3D,
yeah,
what was that game?
The Time Traveler.
Time Traveler.
Yeah, it's a lot like that in a way.
And I don't want that. I don't want that in pinball. Pinball is, it's something to be preserved. It's not to be replicated and then built upon. It's its own thing. It happened. I don't know. Or maybe, am I antiquated in that thought? I mean, should pinball become a new thing?
It already has. I mean, these, I would say, I I would be interested to see what the numbers are, but I think maybe even Zen Pinball is more popular than Pinball Arcade.
Holy shit. Are you
They
for
have
real?
Huge licenses. They have Marvel and Star Wars.
That's true.
So if you're on iOS and you're like, I want to get a pinball game, and you type in pinball and you see Star Wars, that's probably where you're going to go.
Wow. Which is upsetting because you're going to miss the entire pinball experience, a true pinball experience. But maybe, you know what? Maybe we are on the waning end of the pinball fad or whatever it is. It's dead. Maybe it's dead.
There are still some tables getting produced. At my work, we got an Avengers table and a Metallica table, which I think are fairly new.
Yeah, the Metallica one, I've heard of that one.
The Metallica one has James Hetfield with short hair, so it has to be relatively new.
At least, like, circa Load or Reload, right?
Yeah.
What shitty albums. For me, what have I played? I played a lot of Left 4 Dead 2. You talked about it. The Ledge. We're living on the ledge! That was my experience. I haven't played anything else. I refuse to play Lucius again when I'm looking at my Steam games. It is one of the worst games. I did, actually, I played Brothers, A Tale of Two Sons. And I'll talk about that more in segment 3 of this show. But it was a good game, but not a great game. And certainly not a dumb game. So I don't know if it's worth talking about, except to say I think people should play it. I think it's worthy of playing.
Yeah, I agree.
It's just that it's not dumb.
It's nice because it's one of those three-hour experiences, which I love this trend in games. I want more three-hour games.
Yeah, that and Gone Home. Like, I think it's worth the money. I mean, you're paying the price of admission to an amazing experience.
Yeah.
So it's worth doing that. I did also play more of the Walking Dead game, which I have to go on record as saying I'm not a zombie film fan or a zombie whatever fan.
Me neither. We're the only two.
I know, right? But I think Telltale Games is really good at creating a gaming experience. And on the horizon for Telltale, I believe that they just secured the rights to the Game of Thrones whatever it's going to be. I don't know how many games they're going to produce, but Telltale will be doing Game of Thrones, as far as I know, which is incredible. So, Walking Dead, still not a dumb game. I didn't play any dumb games. Next segment.
Futuristic Action RPG. That is the full title. There are two dashes in it. 3089-- Futuristic Action RPG. This is coming at us on... Wait, I put November. I think it's January. January 10th, 2014. That was...
yesterday.
A day ago! This is as hot as it gets. Brand new from world-renowned developer Fruits Software. That has a P, an H, and two zeros in
Holy
it.
Holy shit. They don't give a shit.
Fruit! This game looks super dumb and super great at the same time. So here's the pitch. It's Minecraft, but a sci-fi shooter. Kind of Tribes-like.
Oh, I love Tribes.
In a way, or something. And not only is the world procedurally generated, but all enemies, weapons, items, quests, and more are procedurally generated.
Wow. That's ambitious.
I mean, try to wrap your mind around it. So you jump into a world, which I believe is a multiplayer world. I should have researched this. I don't know. Could be, could, maybe not. But it's a role-playing game. Yes, two-player co-op. So you and a friend can jump into this world, and everything is brand new. Like, weapons can be different game to game.
Wait, this is what Minecraft... This is what has been lacking in Minecraft for me. Like, I just recently rejoined a Minecraft server, and it was fun, but, like, it's this... No matter what happens, at the end of the day, it's the same thing I've done time and time again in Minecraft. And what I've always been... I loved when they added villages in Minecraft, because you got to see NPCs that are wandering around. But, like, they do nothing. And you can steal shit from their chests, but that doesn't mean anything to me if they don't... There's no consequences to what I do. I've always wanted this RPG element. Are you telling me that 3089...
Dash dash futuristic action RPG.
Are you telling me that this is going to solve that problem? I mean, can I be a character class, or is this?
I mean, if you're claiming it's going to be a role playing game, that implies that your character can develop in some way, right?
I'm in. I'm sorry, this isn't super dumb. This is super cool. It might
I think it's super dumb in that it's ridiculous but awesome at the same time. But are you on the page? If you look at the screenshots, it looks like a game. It looks like an N64 game.
Yeah, actually, okay, yeah, no, I'm on the Steam Steam powered page. It totally looks N64 driven.
It's awesome.
I'm looking at a screenshot right now. It looks more like GoldenEye than it does something shitty. So I'm in. I would play.
There's
this.
A giant cactus.
Yeah, that's I'm looking at cacti in a pillbox. It looks like you're getting ready to storm the pillbox.
Yeah. Anyway, I'm excited about that. It's got pretty good reviews. It's $6.99 on Steam right now.
Not bad.
I think our audience should check it out. Now, it wouldn't be a What's Dropping segment without a simulation game.
Oh, God. What orifice is this now, is this attaching to?
There is one every week. We must be on, we are... I mean, at this point, we need a combo breaker because I think it's been 10 episodes with a simulation game. So, January 9th, 2014, that was 2 days ago.
Uh-oh.
Recovery, Search, and Rescue Simulation dropped. It starts with a quote. Rescue Team 1 to base.
No, wait.
This is the big quote that starts the
Well, it's pitch. It's starting as though they're talking to the base through a walkie-talkie or something.
Yeah.
Rescue Team 1 to base. Missing person found safe and well. Mission accomplished. Returning to base. Over.
Thanks for that, Excalibur Publishing /BigSims.com. So strap your boots and hook up your compass.
Wait, was that you or is that them saying strap?
That's them. Oh. This is them. As a new recruit to Rescue Team 1, you'll need to use your expert tracking skills to locate a variety of important objects, that's not generic, and missing people who have stumbled into the harsh and perilous dangers of your national park.
They're all dead.
That's the bad news. You're just uncovering bodies. Yeah,
how great would that be? A not safe for work sort of game where it's just like they've taken pictures of actual dead bodies and that's what you uncover. It's Dead Body Simulator 2014. I would love it. Like, you would hate every uncovering as you approach the body. Anyway, go on. Tell me.
Navigate woodland trails, deep ravines, and fast-flowing rivers on the trail of a journalist looking for the thrill of adventure, or locate... Or locate some missing pharmaceuticals to save a hiker's life.
Are these pharmaceuticals in opiate nature? Because I would just take them.
Yeah, I mean, for the large part of our audience that enjoys taking Vicodin and stroking tree bark, this is the game for you.
I love that. I actually do think a large part of our audience enjoys taking Vicodin and stroking tree bark.
I know I do.
I would kill right now to be doing that. I don't want to be here echoing segment one. Go on.
However, it won't all be a walk in the park. The lush forest can quickly turn into a dangerous trek as you come across some of nature's most dangerous obstacles.
Moose?
And okay, that probably fits, but how about tar pits?
I've lived my entire life without encountering a tar pit, except for when I went to La Brea. You do not encounter tar pits in real life.
According to Excalibur Publishing and BigSims.com,
oh my God,
tar pits are the number one dangerous obstacle that search and rescue people.
I've never seen firefighter training that includes tar pit reaction training.
There's still no word if this game will accurately simulate when you wake up after camping and you feel like you can never get clean again.
Right. Oh, the worst.
I don't know if they're. That's going to be the most important part of this simulation, I think.
The worst feeling of waking up in the morning after camping that first night is, where do I take my shit? Oh, wait, it's in the outhouse that is shared by everyone else.
Oh, the worst realization is when that hits.
Yeah.
It's like, I've got to go.
Yeah. And
this is going to happen.
I would almost prefer to go in the woods, but it's so frowned upon. There's no good like four-ply toilet paper. Like, it's a whole to do.
Let's get raw, people. I remember camping. I was probably maybe 9th, 10th grade. I go out camping to a place called Black Lake in mid-Michigan.
Yeah, I know it.
With a friend and his dad. And wake up the next morning, got to go. And there are outhouses to go in. The whole trip, we've been plagued by bugs. It was the thick of summer. There were black flies like I had never seen before that would follow us for miles.
Yep.
And circle us and just bite and bite and circle us. You could not get away from them. At night, a hum, an audible hum, overtook the entire campground as the mosquitoes awakened. And we shined our flashlight over the lake, and it was a fog of mosquitoes.
Oh, my God.
So I get up the next morning and go to the outhouse, sit down, and while I'm doing my business, I can feel flies pelting my butt.
That's horrifying.
It's
horrifying. Although I will say, in my top five shits of all time, if we're counting... Astro Creep 2000 had just come out. The year was 1995. White Zombie.
Of course it was. Yeah.
White Zombie was playing outside of the camper. My parents had a camper that allowed us to shit in it, which was a whole new thing. Like, that was a whole new world for me. So I was pooping. The poop that I took was so solid, it licked my taint, as as it were.
Wait, what?
It was like a foot long, and as it came out of my butthole, and I did, and as it stopped.
Oh my God!
Yeah, this podcast has taken a turn for the worse.
Thank you, Rescue and Search Simulator, yes, for prompting this conversation.
All I know is when I wiped, I had to wipe my taint because it was the poop was cut off, and then it sort of like went slick, like right around my taint. I'm sorry.
Just bobsledded down your taint.
That's right. And as I was doing that, Astro Creep 2000 was playing outside of the camper.
Badoom, don't.
Yeah, exactly.
Badoom, don't.
Badoom, boom. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah!
Yeah!
Anyway,
oh boy.
Top Sizzlers.
Get, get it.
Your top stories, none of them involving poop.
Oh, God. We're the worst.
First story.
We're the worst podcast ever.
This is a games podcast.
Yeah, not a poop podcast. Go on.
And this is a game story. This is your hottest story for this week, determined by your crack Super Dumb Games news team.
All 12 of them.
Xbox 360 Pizza Hut app made... So a lot of big news broke this week, including PlayStation Now, you know.
Sure, but...
Huge stories, but Xbox 360 Pizza Hut app made $1 million in just 4 months.
Holy shit.
I thought this thing came out years ago, but this story was published on January 9th at VG247. I don't know. Did this just come out? I felt like this was on 360 a while ago, or maybe I'm getting confused with how you could order pizza through Warcraft by typing /pizza. Which is incredible. But anyway, there's not much to the story other than just let that sink in, that $1 million in sales for just 4 months. The Pizza Hut people are saying that this was, like, huge for them. Because if you think about it, Pizza Hut's been kind of irrelevant for a while.
When I was a kid, Pizza Hut was the place to go. Pizza Hut was like Cheers. It was the place to go where you want people to know your name. Like, you go there because it's a whole experience. Your family goes there. Do you remember when Pizza Hut, on their wall, they had, like, 18th century photographs of shit?
Yeah.
That was the thing, though. Pizza Hut was this archaic kind of experience. It wasn't a Little Caesar's pizza, what do we call that? Pizza Aquarium? Pizza Zone? What was that called?
Their Chuck E. Cheese equivalent?
Yeah, exactly. It wasn't a Major Magic's or whatever you want to call it. Pizza Hut was where families go, but where mom and dad get to kind of get thrown back as well. Like,
yeah.
It's the mom and dad kid experience at the same time.
Which it seems like they've gotten away completely from that restaurant model.
Yeah, right? Except...
Do Pizza Hut restaurants even exist?
Yes, they do. My mom and dad still order... Oh, boy. This is going to bring up everything you love about my mom and dad.
Yeah, I remember this factoid, I think.
Oh, God. I don't want to get into it too much on here, but... My mom and dad still order their Pizza Hut pizza. They love it. It's still a thing.
So, breaking news, the Noid weighed in on Pizza Hut's success. Yeah, there's a quote here from the Noid.
Was he annoyed?
Yes. So, he weighed in, and he's criticizing the sale numbers as, quote, mostly personal pan pizzas for lonely bustas and studio gangsters,
what?
End quote.
Wait. Is
this... That's what the Noid is weighed in.
Is that official? I'm not joking. Is that official?
That is a joke I wrote.
I thought for a second.
I love that you thought that Domino's would say the Noid. The Noid thinks that everyone ordering Pizza Hut through Xbox is a busta or studio gangsta.
For a second, I would have put it past them. I thought
Domino's would have my business for eternity if they did that.
Oh shit! Oh my god! Oh.
So next, top Slizzler. This is an interesting story. Kotaku published a story that lists the top 13 games ranked by popularity of the readers of their blog, basically. How they determined that was they ranked the games of 2013 by how many people purchased those games through their site. Does that make sense? So this isn't a best of list. This isn't a traffic list, you know, what reviews were most trafficked. They looked and found what games had the most click-throughs and purchases, which I found kind of interesting. So this isn't like it's a fascinating list in that you get a sense for not only Kotaku's audience but what they're actually playing, I guess. From 2013, the top game is Grand Theft Auto 5.
I guess that makes sense. I mean, that's it's weird because I don't think you or I have bought or played this game.
I have it. I haven't played it yet.
Oh, okay. I haven't bought it yet. I'm guessing BioShock Infinite is in there.
Yeah, number two. Number three, kind of shocking, is BioShock and BioShock 2 combo pack.
Oh, well, they offered a combo pack through their site.
Yeah, so I guess when BioShock Infinite came out, it was like, well, play these other two.
Okay. What about Assassin's Creed, right?
That is number nine, Assassin's Creed 4.
Okay. I don't know anymore. I'm done.
It's a tough list to guess. I mean, one of them is pretty obvious, which is Madden, is number four.
Wow. Wow. You know what? This brings up a whole thing about sports games for me. I'm sorry, but I love sports games, but I think I could still play Bill Walsh College Football 2005 and be satisfied. Like,
yeah, I'm of the mind that sports games were almost better when they were less simulation.
Yeah. I don't know what Madden 25 is like, though. Maybe
it's a piece of shit.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've heard it was not very good, I guess.
Ugh.
Rounding up the list, Borderlands 2, XCOM, Enemy Unknown, which I don't even think that came out
what
this
year.
What
the fuck is that game?
That came out late last year.
Okay.
Or 2012. Battlefield 4, Tomb Raider, Assassin's Creed, as we said, The Walking Dead 400 Days.
Hey, wait, that's a game I've been playing. I've been playing The Walking Dead. I love Telltale's. I love their storytelling. They're really good. I would recommend anyone listening to this podcast to play The Walking Dead, even if you hate zombies. I hate zombies, but the storytelling is great in that game.
The big surprise on this list, number 11 is Dragon's Crown, which
is... What the fuck is that?
Kind of a throwback arcade beat-em-up with RPG elements. I think it did fairly well in sales, but wasn't, you know, one of these big blockbusters. But that's number 11. Then number 12 is Civilization V. Number 13, Final Fantasy X Remastered.
Holy shit.
I mean, this list just fascinated me, that these were the games that people bought who read Kotaku.
Wow. Well, with Civ 5, I think, wasn't there... There was some kind of a mod that was put out, I think, that made Civ 5 even more amazing.
Yeah, a Brave New World or something.
Okay, this new expansion sounded amazing to me. Like, it's got new diplomacy, it's different ways to play the game and to win the game. And I think that I think it's worthy of a list. I don't know. I haven't heard it on any lists, though, except for this one.
Well, I think that's another 2012 game.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So, I mean, that kind of shows that, you know, we come up with all these year-end 2013 lists of the best games. Most people are playing these games the year after the games come out, I think. Hot off the wire, your top stories from everyone's fan favorite, the PR Newswire. Biggest story off that wire coming off the desk, hot off the telegraph. New Sphere chess ready to revolutionize the world of online chess play.
Holy shit.
Because clearly, everyone, chess, one of the most popular games of the last seven centuries, needed to get more extreme. So try to wrap your mind around this. Sphere Chess is a frightening new monster. It has the same 64 squares and pieces set up like chess, but Sphere Chess pieces and files, they call them files A through H? What does that mean?
As though that's part of the chessboard, maybe? Like that?
I get. Yeah, what does that mean?
A through...
So Sphere Chess pieces and files A through H are arranged... I guess that... Oh, that must mean the squares.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, that's what I would imagine.
So let's just say squares. Sphere chess pieces and squares are arranged concentrically around opposing poles of a sphere. Sphere chess ranks 1 through 8 extend between... PR Newswire delivers again with a thoroughly confusing explanation. Here's what it is. They took a chessboard and wrapped it around a ball. So I just rewrote that in a much more easy to understand sentence. And this makes it so much more extreme. Because now, instead of moving, you know, vertically and horizontally, you can kind of wrap yourself around the board, I guess. And it, I imagine if you picture the two opposing sides, black and white, starting at the top and bottom of the sphere, they then kind of expand and get all mixed up, I guess, right?
Chess is something you learn. You don't have to know. Well, you do have to know the specifics, I guess.
We need to make it more extreme. The kids like balls. They like spheres.
Extreme chess. Call it that.
And the way, it's so funny the way they're advertising is, their headlines are like, godlike firepower.
Wait.
Astonishing HD 3D rotatable sphere blitz interface.
But wait, do they continue to call pieces, you know, the rook, the knight, the
yeah, all that's the same.
And they each have some kind of a special move or something, or
but listen, so listen to okay. This. A sphere chess knight cannot be trapped anywhere on a sphere and remains a force to be reckoned with at all times.
Shit.
But there's nothing more terrifying than a sphere chess queen. This neutron Medusa. Can... What does that even mean? Neutron Medusa?
Like it's wording to mean that she can do... If you know chess, the queen moves whatever position she wants to. That's the point. But like, you don't have to call her a neutron Medusa. Just
and the way they're really selling this, they're like, let me get to the. So with all this insane firepower, sphere chess is savagely balanced. Both sides have this sudden godlike capability of attack or defense. Well, yeah, in the normal chess, both sides have the same capabilities. Neither side knows how to use it yet. There are no officially recorded sphere chess moves or strategy. No coaches. No grand masters. No computer can even challenge, let alone beat a human yet.
I disagree. I guarantee you there's a computer that could... look, you take Bobby Fischer, put him in this game. I guarantee you he gets it. Is he dead? Is Bobby Fischer dead? I can't remember.
I think so. Fuck. I think so.
Well, that's... I guess that... Nah. I thought Bobby Fischer might be alive, but I know he's crazy.
I thought he died. Let's fact check this, intern Bill. He's dead. He died in 2008.
Well, you know what? The world's better without Bobby Fischer. I think he was a communist. Get rid of those commie scum.
Bobby Fischer was kind of good looking. He had kind of a certain charm to him, but then that beard!
Look at you, Willem Dafoe. Look at you! Is Bobby Fischer? Wait, should I change my OkCupid profile name to Bobby Fischer?
You should change your profile picture to a picture of Bobby Fischer because he looks like a hipster.
Oh boy!
Like his look has come around. Anyway, sphere chess. The self-proclaimed, quote, H-bomb leap into history, end quote, is out. I'm sure it's breaking all records for downloads. If you want to know more, you can contact Anthony Wellman at 503-481-7275.
That was...
Call him up. Talk about some sphere chess.
Whoa. That was an original number, ladies and gentlemen. That was...
It's listed. It's public information.
Holy shit.
It's you can call him up.
Talk about chess.
Talk some sphere chess. We should call him up live on air.
I would love to. Wait, what's the number? I'll do it right now. What's the number?
Are you really want to call him up right now?
Well, what am I going to say to him? But yeah.
503-403-481-72-75.
Here it goes.
Anthony Wellman on the phone, live on air. This is this might be the first call he's ever received. Like, as a human being.
what am I going to ask him?
He might not even know what a phone is.
Do you hear it ringing?
He gets, like, startled. Huh? What is that? Anthony, it's your phone.
Is this Anthony Wellman?
What's that?
Anthony Wellman?
Yeah, I'm his friend. I'm not helping you. Are you calling about the skinny chips?
Oh, boy. I have no idea what he just said. Something about chess, I think. Oh, it ended.
He sounded exactly like I imagined. He did seem confused about how phones work and...
I can't believe he knows my number now.
I love that that both of you just sat there not talking. That's probably how most of his calls go. Most of his interactions in life are just Anthony staring at someone blankly.
It's very difficult. I had headphones on, so I didn't quite understand what he was saying. I think he said,
"Are you calling about sphere chess?"
Oh shit! Oh, and then I ruined it. Boy, oh boy, that's a Super Dumb Games moment.
So, ladies and gentlemen, that is your news.
We met on the bus, and it was Canada Day. We crossed into Detroit. The station was calm. She walked out of view through a brick with a note through the ticket counter window. It said, "I'd rather live in my basement. I'd rather cultivate palm trees. I'd rather move to New England. I'd rather shatter and freeze."
Welcome back to the wild card segment. If you've been following us these last few weeks, I did a 2013 awards special, which was released on the 30th of December. You can go back and listen to my picks. This week, because Chris could not be there for that award special, we're going to get Chris's picks for some of those categories, since Chris doesn't really play games.
Yeah, I mean, the reality is, last year, I was absent for 6 months of the year. So, as a gamer, I'm not able to give my opinion on things until about June of 2013.
You were just a sack of meat.
That's right. Yeah.
Sitting.
Stewing.
On a stool. Stewing in your own filth.
That's right.
Like, if you've seen What's Eating Gilbert Grape, the mom in that movie was a bit better off than Chris was.
Oh, boy.
For 6 months of last year.
I tried my best to avoid the mom from Gilbert Grape. But lo and behold, I was her. Hey, listen. You want to know what...
Wait!
Oh, wait. Okay. Go ahead.
I'll run this show.
Okay.
So, first category... Most memorable multiplayer experience.
I know it straight off the top of my brain, and that game was War Thunder. Now look, I'm not good at flight simulator games. I was never really a big fan of the Microsoft flight sim shit back in the day. And so I found it very surprising that I even picked up War Thunder in the first place. But the game had me hooked because of how highly customizable it was in terms of how to soup up your airplane. You could get decals, shit like that. I mean, stuff that was really technically unimportant. But then you could also upgrade your crew depending on what type of plane you were using. But the game was also really intuitive at scaling gameplay, which I thought was important. So, like, you could play in an arcade mode, which isn't realistic at all. I mean, sometimes your plane didn't really abide by the laws of physics. or you could play in realism mode, where you might do a campaign, but you only have one life, you only have a finite amount of ammo, so you've got to make your run against the enemy count, which I always thought was really cool. I found myself most often playing arcade mode just because it was easiest to master, and master it I did.
So it's multiple eras of military aircraft?
No, it's actually World War II centric, but keep in mind the development of many of these planes were ongoing throughout the war, so as the game progresses, you gain levels, you unlock better and more modern planes as a result. But for me, for my money, I stuck with the biplane, had the best controls, I racked up so many fucking kills.
Then how can a biplane compete against World War II era? I don't...
Yeah, that's what you would think, right? But you were just so good. But then, yeah, exactly. But then I suddenly shift a certain way, I hit the ASDF buttons... And next thing you know, I'm killing
you. If only the Luftwaffe had known in World War II that they could just, instead of Messerschmitts, use biplanes and they sure would have been successful. All right. Next category, achievement in sound and or music.
I know that we have talked and lauded about Pinball Arcade, but honestly, can you not deny the fact that Pinball Arcade is so exquisite in its sound and music? Like, it is the same as what you would hear playing the pinball game.
Yeah, certainly part of the joy of that experience is those visceral connections to the clanging and the bumping and the...
Yes, like there are some games I play only for the experience of the sound and music of that game.
Is this the only award Pinball Arcade is going to get? Or are there more? I knew it.
There are more.
Next up, achievement in art. This can be... I'm trying to... My thought behind this category is to go beyond just graphical prowess and think about games more artistically. So however you wanted to interpret that, what was your choice?
My choice actually was Two Brothers.
Or...
Wait, are you laughing?
You mean Brothers, A Tale of Two Sons?
Yes. It's Two Bros.
You sound like a parent. Oh, I want to see that movie, Two Brothers.
That's what I chose. Was
And why? Why is Brothers?
Well, because it reminded me a lot of Bastion. Do you remember playing Bastion?
Yeah.
It reminded me a lot of that game, even though Bastion was totally different. But there was a lot of art design that also reminded me of Wind Waker.
What do you think in Brothers, what do you think was the high point of the artistic design? Which section, without any big spoilers?
When they have to go through the battle of the giants. I don't know how to explain that.
Yeah.
That point to me, like, they have to remove legs from their area to... How do you explain that without spoiling it?
Well, so there's a section in that game that's pretty extraordinary where you travel through the battlefield of giant people.
Yes. And so you have to extract a giant leg to get through the next zone. And then you have to figure out how to shoot an arrow into a giant to get, I don't know. To me, that was incredible. I would have never thought of that.
I think it's a standout moment in that game.
Yeah, for me it is.
How about your dumbest gaming moment?
Oh boy. I have so many since we've started this podcast, but the biggest of all time is Lucius. I'm sorry. You can find this on our Twitch TV stream. But at one point, Lucius has to kill the guy who fixes the piano. Yeah. I'm sorry, but this is so dumb. When he does it, he has to... Yeah. As a game player, like, you're playing the game, and you're like, well, I mean, do I really need to kill this guy? Well, apparently yes. Okay. So how do I do it? And then, of course, it is by smashing his entire face.
Doesn't his head collapse his like whole, a melon?
Yes. His whole head collapses like a melon under the grand piano's weight.
As if the top to a grand piano could have the force to utterly eviscerate a head.
Right. I think I would survive it.
Yeah. But. You'd be like, oh!
Yeah.
Instead, now, it's a counterpoint to that. What was the best moment of gaming from this past year?
Is this past year or of all years? Or
This I was seeing as the best moment in 2013.
Okay.
That you had playing a game.
Honestly, the best moment I had, I think it was captured on stream, was Gone Home. And I think you already declared this as your best game, but...
Yeah, that was my best game of 2013.
But I think there's a lot of people who are... When they think of Gone Home, they're like, well, I wasted $30 on this game or whatever it is. Or they're upset because it wasn't a true game. The reality is, with Gone Home, it's an experience. I have never... Well, outside of Portal, I think Portal was the last game that I had this same experience with, where I was along for the ride for the entirety of it. So that means... With Gone Home, I was there and I was like, well, this is a horror story and I'm in a house full of artifacts and I'm going to get scared by things. And then when it didn't happen, I was like, well, what is the real story of this game? I'm confused all of a sudden. Like, what are you wanting me to experience from this game?
Could you isolate? Because the way I was kind of thinking of moment was, you know, an isolated point in time, something temporal. Was there a particular sequence in that game that you felt stood out to you as the best moment of that game?
Honestly, I remember being in the family room of that game. I was playing different records, and I think I played a Nirvana song or something like that. There was something about it where I was like, oh, this is set in this time.
Yeah, they had that kind of Riot Girl soundtrack.
Yes, yes. And so I understood at that point, I'm not in the present. This is a game set in the past.
Yeah, the rooms in that house felt so real
yes.
to me. I felt like I was in that place. It was bizarre. I don't know how they accomplished it.
Which is hard because when you are invited into the home, you are expecting... there to be a horror genre effect. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. Like you expect that when I play this record or when I pick up this thing from this NPC, this will be like really terrifying.
You're expecting a jump scare at any moment.
And the only jump scare I think was like, you told me about it, but it had to do with a closet, I think.
You go down the stairs and the light bulb.
Yes, yeah. But that was the only jump scare. The rest of it was figuring out who your family is.
How about the worst game design?
You will never predict this, but it was the Game of Thrones game.
The social game, Ascent?
No.
Oh, yeah, they did come out. Was it like a real-time strategy game or something?
No, it was a lot like the Lord of the Rings War in the North video game. And in fact, I think the two might have been bundled together or something. I think I got them at the same time. I don't think I told you that I even fired this shit sandwich up. But it was, the Game of Thrones video game. It was released in 2012. The game starts you off playing these two characters who don't exist in the books, plops you... right into the middle of Westeros, the main continent of the acclaimed books. I think it takes place 4 months before the death of Jon Arryn and then spans slightly into the first book, which was titled A Game of Thrones. And guess what? Who gives a fuck? You start the game as some chump at the wall. There's two main characters. You were both part of Tywin Lannister's army or some shit like that. And then, like, they give you this other game dynamic where there's a dog. You have this dog that I can't even remember if you can control it or what. It was just an annoyance, honestly. But guess what? The worst part about the game, I think, and this can kill any game, the controls in this game are so abysmal. You couldn't look or aim at anyone. Like, even to just try to chat, do some kind of character dialogue with somebody where you have to put, you know, aim your mouse cursor on this thing, on an NPC, you couldn't even do it.
You had like, muscular dystrophy or something.
You know, you talked about how you have a very low threshold for tolerating shitty games these days. And this game tested my resolve utterly. If I look at Steam right now, it says I played all of 33 minutes of this game, never to fucking look back. And it's sad because I love Game of Thrones. It's a great world that can be built upon. And I guess all I can say is that I really hope to Christ that Telltale doesn't fuck up this new opportunity they have now to make an amazing adaptation of the Game of Thrones game, because this one was pure shit. Worst game design I've had to experience, even though it came out in 2012. Worst game design I dealt with this year.
I don't even know that this... How did you get this game?
Gift.
Oh.
It was a gift. So I didn't know any better. I didn't buy it.
Yeah. Biggest revelation about yourself as a video game player.
All right, here we go. It's time to talk real here, people. And the revelation that I had is thus. I can be an asshole. And I didn't know this about myself until I played War Thunder. Like I said before, it's a great flight sim. I started to find myself embracing the community, though, which eventually turned toxic as more and more kids were joining up with the beta. And I think the issue with that was, you know, I was already using community lingo. And then these kids started to join up and they don't know how to play the game. And I was trying to play the game normally, you know, with some kind of finesse. And these kids, they wouldn't play the game properly. So they became what on the community was known as rammers, which basically denotes some kind of a noob who, rather than fight me like a man, would instead kamikaze himself into my plane, thus removing one of my planes from that particular mission I might have been playing. And it wasn't really until our friend Waxo and I started playing more games together that we realized it was funny to start just calling people rammers, even if they weren't ramming. We would call them out in chat and kind of troll people that way. And it was a good way for me to realize that I shouldn't be taking the game so seriously. But I realized, too, that it's very easy to do that when you get involved and invested in a game, especially when what's at stake is the entire fate of the free fucking world, you know, that you can really get engrossed in this stuff. So, yeah, my realization or revelation was that in massively multiplayer online games, it's easy to get sucked in and start talking like you're playing Call of Duty or some shit, and really take trivial things seriously.
Now, the big Super Dumb Games Award, the best worst game, which is the Super Dumb Games Hall of Fame, I chose Hunter's Trophy to America. What are you going to anoint as a Super Dumb Games Hall of Fame game that you played this last
time? This is hard because I've watched you play so many Super Dumb Games. But for me, the worst / best game I played was Dream TV. Dream TV is fucking amazing. It is actually a good game. For as much shit as I gave it, it has its ups and downs. I mean, like, there's power-ups, there's... you drop down a certain hole and that means death. I don't know. Like,
this is a great description.
I'm trying to figure out how best to describe Dream TV, but Dream TV is one of those games that is so dumb that you have to play it. You have to.
It was my favorite Double Impact from this year, I think, with the bear and the honey. It felt like we were on drugs.
Right. Well, a lot of the time you're playing it and you're thinking, why am I playing this game? Like, why am I sitting through this?
None of it makes any sense whatsoever, and I think that's what's really wonderful about it. And it seemed like it was actually... There were some interesting moments, like when you just started walking left, and all of a sudden, oh, you can walk left. They had designed...
Yeah.
And the fact that there are two different characters that can meet up, and there's a split screen, there was some interesting mechanical stuff happening.
Yes, it's entirely... It makes no sense. I mean...
Yeah, it's all poorly executed, but there were ideas.
Regardless, Dream TV, that is...
Congratulations.
That is the dumbest of dumb game I've played.
Now, the final award, the best game that came out in 2013, the best game of the year. I awarded this to Gone Home.
Yes.
Now that I'm further in Last of Us, I will say this. Last of Us is the most enjoyable experience I've had this year playing a game, but I think Gone Home is a more important game than Last of Us.
Okay.
So I gave it to Gone Home, but I could see Last of Us easily being tied.
What if I said neither of those win?
Nah, I'm on the edge of my seat. The audience is anticipating. I mean, we better get Anthony Wellman ready to send out the press release. Call him up again.
This just in, the best game of 2013 was, it's no surprise, it's Pinball Arcade. I'm sorry, I have sunk, hang on, let me look at my Steam Arcade.
I thought Pinball Arcade came out in 2012.
Wait, but no, but different packs were released during the course
it gets into a technicality.
Yes. I have played 174 hours. Dude.
No.
174.
I bet that first of all, that's impossible. Secondly,
first off, stop. Don't think that I slept through some of those times.
That's what I'm going to say. I think you probably left it idle and you didn't realize.
No. 174.
There's no what?
It's true.
There's no way. There's no, I mean, there is no way. I'm flabbergasted.
It's true. I don't know what else to tell you, but get Pinball Arcade because.
What?
I have never played a game more outside of Skyrim, I think. Skyrim I played.
Which is an RPG that.
I played Skyrim for about 128 hours. So we're talking a difference of 30 plus hours. I'm infatuated with Pinball Arcade. You don't understand the level of infatuation I have with this game. It is utterly impossible.
I think the audience, along with me, is floored.
Yeah.
I will continue to doubt this. I think you left. Because what Steam can do is if you pause a game or leave it idle or whatever, like, you know. And
sure. Look, I got drunk maybe on July 14th and left it open for the entirety of July 14th through the 31st. I don't know. I have no idea.
There's no way you could have logged 174 hours in a pinball game.
All right, so if I'm going to pick a second game, it's...
No, that doesn't take away from it being the best game. I'm just... That would be a truly... That would be an accomplishment to log that much time in a pinball game.
It's what Steam says. 174 hours. This is what I've logged.
And then it says, it says 174 hours, .. shame on you.
Look. I got this. I suddenly got the hiccups.
All right. Well, that concludes our 2013 awards. Look forward to our 2014 awards, where possibly could we have next gen consoles next year? Will we?
No.
I don't know, people.
Will somebody send me a check that I can cash?
Yeah. Or we're, I mean, Major Nelson, the holiday special saw that we reunited with Major Nelson. He might give us
an Expo
consoles. Yeah.
Yeah. Give it to us.
So www.superdumbgames.com. Subscribe to us on iTunes. Write a review if you'd like. Rate us and write a little written review. There's a bunch of social media links on the left-hand side of www.superdumbgames.com that you may want to follow. And we'll see you next week.
Dumb games.